It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. In today's Columbia River ship schedule, we have 4 inbounders, we have 6 outbounders, and we have 7 ships anchored off Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we have south winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 knots early in the morning, wind waves from the south 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 7 feet at 10 seconds, and a chance of snow showers in the morning. Showers are likely and a slight chance of thunderstorms. And today we're going to be talking about a disaster that was averted off the West Coast this weekend when a container ship got in trouble and skilled professionals saved the day, so nothing bad happens. Perhaps the best news of all. So we'll talk about that in just a minute and how it compares to some of the disaster reporting that we see in the media. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. Our first arrival in the river is the Ocean Seagull, arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. I think she could be picking up bentonite clay, which I love to say is used to make kitty litter, but it's used for lots of other things as well. It can pull sediments out of liquids, and so it has a lot of industrial uses. Passing Astoria around 7:30 p.m. inbound, she'll be in Vancouver by about 1:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. The Jericho Beach is next inbound. She's arriving from Port Angeles, headed for the Longview Anchorage. Her cargo is pet coke, and she will be passing Astoria around 11:30 p.m. and will be in Longview by about 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. So our arrivals are all late in the day, in the evening today. The Ocean Tianbao is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Crims Island Anchorage, a little bit downriver from Longview. She's going to be picking up wheat upriver eventually. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 p.m. You'll see her in the Crims Island Anchorage at about 2:30 a.m. on Thursday. And the Chrissa K is arriving from China, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. Corn, soy, or wheat are her possible cargoes when she goes up to Kalama. She'll be in the Astoria Anchorage by about 12:30 a.m. on Thursday. And if you'd like to see the rest of the ship schedule for the day, you can go to my website at shipreport.net, and you'll see it there, along with the podcast of this and other ship report shows. Well, with all the attention on one stuck container ship on the East Coast, the media kind of missed an almost disaster here on the West Coast this past weekend off California. Here's an article from gcaptain.com. With all eyes on the Ever Forward, so that's a container ship that I've talked about with you on the ship report in previously, and I'm sure you've heard about it on the news, stuck in Chesapeake Bay, there was another incident over the weekend that had the potential to escalate into a major maritime incident. Given the lack of media coverage, with the exception of some local reports, it was an easy one to miss. On Friday, the Wan Hai 176, a Singapore-flagged container ship with 21 people on board, reported a loss of engine power and being adrift off the coast of Point Reyes, California. That's a protected stretch of coastline off Northern California's Marin County, north of San Francisco. Along with 783 containers, the Wan Hai 176 had approximately 39,000 gallons of fuel on board. To stop its drift toward shore, the 564-foot container ship was able to anchor approximately 7 miles off the coast and remained stable as tugs transited to the location. The towing vessel Tug Stacy Foss arrived at 10 p.m. to assist, followed by 2 more tugs, the Delta Deanna and the Delta Billy. They arrived on scene around 2:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, but because of rough weather, the towing vessels were unable to attached lines to tow the ship. Once more favorable weather arrived, they were able to pass tow lines to the Wan Hai 176's crew, and they began towing the vessel to San Francisco, where they anchored it. There were no reports of any injuries or pollution, and the crew is safe. The Coast Guard captain of the port of San Francisco has ordered the ship to remain in the anchorage until the ship's engines have been fixed and Coast Guard personnel have conducted an inspection. As of Tuesday, she remained in the anchorage. And once the captain of the port order is removed on this ship, she is scheduled to be escorted out of the San Francisco Bay with tugs. Here's a quote from from Unified Command on this incident. This hazardous situation was successfully resolved through proactive collaboration, seamless communication, and deliberate risk assessment provided by our local, state, federal and industry partners. And the unified command in this case handling this incident consisted of the Coast Guard, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, Office of Spill Prevention and Response, and Marin County there in California. So that's from gcaptain.com. So here was an instance in which a disaster was averted, but hardly anyone paid any attention to it except the people involved in trying to solve it. I noticed it in one small news report, but when I tried to Google it, I could hardly find any information about it. So I waited to see what the outcome would be. So in this case, the media's eyes were mostly on a situation where something went wrong and they were not able to catch it in time. And so, the people involved were not able to catch it in time. And so a big public process is happening to try and fix it. That's in the Chesapeake Bay. The situation with this container ship off the West Coast was one that required a tremendous behind-the-scenes response from everyone involved. And it worked. Nothing bad happened. This is actually not rare. Potential issues happen all the time, and mariners deal with them on the fly, and nothing bad happens. I'm sure it happens in other industries and work settings as well. I'm reading a great book right now by an author named Juliette Kayyem. She's a former United States Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security for Intergovernmental Affairs. The book is called The Devil Never Sleeps: Learning to Live in an Age of Disasters. In the book, she talks about how disasters of all kinds are becoming more frequent, and we need to get our heads around that reality and get prepared. She also talks about something called the preparedness paradox, which says that if preparedness measures work, they can often seem like a waste of time or investment. We've certainly seen some of this in the pandemic, with people saying, well, that wasn't so bad, after health measures actually worked. But in this case, it seems like what happened here is kind of a corollary of the preparedness paradox, in that the more prepared you are and the better you handle a potential problem before it gets bad, the more people think there was never really any risk to begin with, or they completely ignore the problem. That seemed to be the case in this instance, where because they solved this before it got out of control, it didn't make big news. When actually you could argue that things like this should be the biggest news of all. Hooray! Disaster averted! But I guess that's not how human nature works. So my point is that skilled actions and preparedness by mariners and professionals in many fields save the day plenty of times when something goes wrong, and if we're lucky, we never hear about it. But that doesn't mean we should assume that the expertise isn't there or that situations at sea and in other realms as well aren't risky. Because we have plenty of highly skilled folks passing by our doors on ships here on the Lower Columbia every day, taking care of business so we don't have to worry about it. And the risks are very real. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.